from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz and RRI Digital Mobile App.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the main points. Indonesia highlights importance of energy transition discussion at CEO talks in Peru. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi becomes UN Secretary General's Special Envoy for Water Issues. Now the news in detail. Director General of America and Europe of the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Umar Hadi, highlighted the importance of discussing the energy transition as a strategy amid the current global economy. In his remarks at the CEO talks in Lima on Thursday, September the 12th, he explained that the energy transition has become a topic of discussion in the world because it has opportunities and challenges that must be overcome together. According to Umar Hadi, for Indonesia as a country with the largest economy in Southeast Asia, the energy sector is still a challenge that must be faced. Nevertheless, behind the existing challenges, Indonesia has the potential needed to develop the energy transition.
It's not easy, especially in developing countries like Indonesia. For example, instances, ladies and gentlemen, in Indonesia, you know, Indonesia is the largest economy in Southeast Asia, member of G20. Our GDP is $1.4 trillion. But, for example, the per capita consumption of electricity in Indonesia is still very low, only about 2,000 kilowatt hour per capita. The global average is 3,300 kilowatt-hour per capita. Developed countries like, let's say, Germany, it's already 10,000 kilowatt-hours per capita. So you know how much money you need to invest just to go from 2,000 kilowatt-hour per capita into 3,000 kilowatt. A lot of money. A lot of opportunities, of course, but also a lot of challenges to overcome. So when you talk about energy transition, I think we need to look at it in balance.
Meanwhile, Director General of Research and Studies of the Ministry of Foreign Trade and Tourism of Peru, Ana Vera Ganoza, highlighted the importance of Peru and Indonesia materializing trade cooperation through the Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement. According to her, currently, Peru has 22 trade agreements that can benefit the export sector abroad and be part of the Trans-Pacific Cooperation that connects with Southeast Asian countries or ASEAN and Indonesia.
In this scenario, it is essential for us to achieve a comprehensive economic partnership agreement, or CEPA, between Peru and Indonesia, to create further opportunities that will benefit our economies, our companies, and citizens. I can confirm that the ministry team is making its best efforts to achieve substantial progress in the next negotiation rounds so that we can conclude the negotiation in the shortest possible time.
Moreover, Ana Ferragnosa conveyed that Peru has long awaited the realization of a trade agreement with Indonesia. According to her, more than a decade has passed since both countries opened a feasibility study to start trade cooperation. She further affirmed Peru's unchanging commitment to taking trade cooperation with Indonesia to the next level with a trade agreement. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi has been appointed by the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres as Special Envoy for Water Issues to advance the global water agenda, particularly related to the results of the UN Water Conference 2023. Based on a written statement of the UN Secretary General monitored in Jakarta Friday, the Special Envoy will support measures to ensure a future of water to be guaranteed by encouraging stronger political, economic, and sociocultural cooperation at all levels. She will begin to serve as Special Envoy on November 1st, 2024, after completing her duties as Minister in President Joko Widodo's Indonesian Advanced Cabinet. As a Special Envoy, Retno Marsudi will be tasked with encouraging synergy between stakeholders in water affairs to support the achievement of the world's water targets, such as target number 6 of the 2030 Sustainable Development Goals, and to prepare for the 2026 UN Water Conference. Chairperson of Committee for Central America, Cuba, and CARICOM of the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Prasetyo Singgi, hopes that Indonesia entrepreneurs can take advantage of any comprehensive economic partnership agreement that Indonesia has with many friendly countries. While speaking on the sidelines of the Indonesia, Latin America and Caribbean or INALEC Business Forum 2024 on Friday, Singgi pointed out that Indonesia has already had a trade agreement with Chile in Latin America and soon with Peru and Mexico. He further hopes that Indonesia will be able to have the agreements with all countries in Latin America.
Now, the key is not only to have the CEPAs and the other free trade relations, free trade agreements in place, but acting on them, executing on those free trade agreements. So there's no use of having all these free trade agreements or the CEPAs, but the businessmen and women don't take advantage of that, because it's up to us, the businessmen and women, to take advantage of free trade agreements and CEPAs. So I think businessmen and women will profit from the FTAs as well as the CEPAs. We push for them. We go to the market and we meet all these tariffs and non-tariff barriers, and then we convey to our government that we need to have an FTA. But they're only useful if once we have them, we use them. So it's the negotiation process is quite lengthy. So once it's in place, it's a shame that we don't make more use of it.
Moreover, to promote Indonesia's business potential, Prasetyo Singgi explained the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry made initiative visit to destination countries that have high potential for Indonesian business development. Therefore, coinciding with the Indonesia Latin America and Caribbean Business Forum 2024, the Chamber of Commerce also visited a number of industries in the region and conducted the Business Forum Roadshow 2024. They included the Dominican Republic, Bahamas, Peru, Cuba, Panama, and Nicaragua. Prasetya Singhi also mentioned that this effort was made to promote Indonesia, build new trade ties, and look for new opportunities to start building new trade cooperation with Indonesia. The Embassy of Mexico in Jakarta inaugurated the Mexican Culinary Network during the Noche Mexicana or Mexican Night event, which took place at the official residence of the Mexican ambassador to Indonesia in Jakarta on Friday. Ambassador Alonso, in his remarks, compared the launch of the network to the arrival of the Mexican military sailing ship ARM Cuauhtemoc at Tanjung Priok Port in Jakarta some time ago, which he said was a mirror of the strong relationship between Indonesia and Mexico.
The Cuauhtémoc, the Buque Escuela, is not only a beautiful vessel, but a Mexican ambassador that conveys its soft power and maritime tradition and our enduring commitment to international friendship. Its presence here in Indonesia reflected the strong and growing relationship between our two countries. And that is exactly what we celebrate tonight with the launch of the Mexican Culinary Network, a bridge between Mexico and Indonesia, bringing together our love for food, tradition, and community.
Furthermore, Ambassador Alonso also explained that the Mexican Culinary Network aims at promoting Mexican cuisine and flavors to the Indonesian public, as well as fostering collaboration among Mexican chefs, restaurants, and culinary importers. The event and the inauguration of the Mexican Culinary Network were held in commemoration of Mexico's 214th Independence Day. Saudi Ambassador to Azerbaijan Essam bin Saleh Al-Jutail received Mamat Musayev, President of Azerbaijan's National Confederation of Entrepreneurs Organization. As reported by ArabNews.com on Friday, in another meeting, he also spoke to the Executive Director of the Azerbaijan Export and Investment Promotion Agency, Yusuf Abdullayev. And during the meetings, the two sides discussed bilateral relations and other topics of common interest. Russian President Vladimir Putin has warned NATO alliance leaders that a move to lift restrictions on Ukraine's use of longer-range Western missiles to strike deep inside his country would be considered an act of war. As quoted by CNN.com on September the 13th, according to Vladimir Putin, this will mean that NATO, comprising the U.S. and certain European countries, are at war with Russia. And if this is the case, then, bearing in mind the change in the essence of the conflict, Russia will make appropriate decision in response to the threats that will be posed to it. Putin's comments come as U.S. and NATO allied partners appear increasingly open to the possibility of allowing Ukrainian forces to use Western-provided long-range weapons systems to strike at Russian military targets, something which Kyiv has openly pressed for as the war continues deep into its second year. During a recent visit to Kyiv, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken offered the strongest suggestion yet. The White House was considering lifting restrictions in line with a broader strategic shift among NATO partners. Vietnamese Party General Secretary and State President Tho Lam on Friday received Indonesian President-elect Prabowo Subianto, who is paying a working visit to Vietnam. As quoted by VOVworld.vn on September the 14th, Lam applauded recent achievements of Indonesia, which has become the largest economy in Southeast Asia, one of the fastest growing digital markets in the world, has instigated many initiatives and actively contributed to peace and cooperation in the region and the world. Prabowo Subianto, meanwhile, offered his deep sympathy for the great losses and damage caused by Typhoon Yagi in Vietnam. Indonesia, he said, always attaches importance to the traditional friendship and cooperation with Vietnam. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasi, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia.
The first item in the news from across Indonesia comes from Semarang City, Central Jawa Province. Semarang City held the Pikatwastra Nusantara Textile Exhibition, which is a series of activities for the Semarang Old City Festival. This exhibition aims to introduce fashion design while presenting a fashion show from 8 famous Indonesian designers, as well as an exhibition of small and medium enterprises and industry in fashion by displaying various Indonesian products. Semarang Mayor Haferia Rita Gunaryanti Rahayu, when opening the exhibition at the Old The Trap building Semarang Old City on Thursday, September the 12th, explained that this exhibition is the first step in efforts to introduce the quality of Semarang small and medium enterprises. She also hopes that in the future, Semarang will be able to host its own regional festival such as Semarang Fashion Week. Meanwhile, Indonesian renowned designer Samuel Watimena, who is also the initiator of the idea for the Pikatwastra Nusantara exhibition, said that fashion is part of people's daily lives. Therefore, he initiated an exhibition about fashion with environmentally friendly materials made from leftover fabrics and natural coloring. In the era of the onslaught of various foreign products, Samuel Watimena asked fashion actors to participate in socializing and introducing Indonesian culture through fashion shows. The next news comes from Bantul, Yogyakarta. Bantul Regency Government Special Region of Yogyakarta has prepared an integrated information system application for the management of the Yogyakarta Philosophy Axis area located in the Panggung Krapya, Panggung Harjo Village, Sewon. Bantul Region Abdul Halim Muslih on Thursday said it is hoped that the management for the philosophy axis in each stage can be planned in an integrated manner because it involves multi-stakeholders. Meanwhile, the head of the Bantul Regional Planning and Development Agency, Ari Budi Nugroho, said that the philosophy axis in Yogyakarta has been designated by UNESCO as an intangible cultural heritage in September 2023. He also said that the agency is currently in the process of compiling an action plan for the management of the Yogyakarta philosophical axis area. In terms of meaning, the Yogyakarta philosophical axis is a special planning idea that has a deep meaning related to the Yogyakarta region. This is different from temple complexes or other world heritage sites that can be easily recognized based on their physical form. The Yogyakarta philosophical axis is recognized as a world heritage because it is considered to have a universally applicable meaning. The last item in the news from across Indonesia comes from Surabaya, East Java. The East Java provincial government on Thursday won the 2024 Paritrana Award as the best province for innovation in the Jawa-Bali zone because it was considered successful in innovating in increasing the scope of social security protection for workers in East Java. The award was presented directly by Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin to the acting governor of East Java, Adi Karyono, in Jakarta. Adi Karyono said that this award is proof of the provincial government's commitment to continue to maximize social security protection for workers in East Java until universal coverage is realized for workers in East Java. He said that one of the efforts to realize universal coverage is through optimizing the use of tobacco excise revenue sharing funds in the context of social protection for tobacco farmers and other vulnerable workers through the Worker Social Security Program. That was news from across Indonesia.
Thank you. berita membuka cakrawala. Sama bertaut saudara di gelombang semesta. Kita Indonesia sesungguhnya langit aspirasi bangsa. Kita Indonesia sesungguhnya kita hadir bagi dunia. Kita Indonesia. Kita Indonesia sesungguhnya langit aspirasi bangsa. Kita Indonesia,
Indonesia
sesungguhnya,
sesungguhnya
kita hadir bagi dunia. Kita Indonesia sesungguhnya langit aspirasi bangsa. Kita Indonesia sesungguhnya sesungguhnya.
Dear listeners and viewers of Radio Republic Indonesia, I am Mario Ignacio Artaza Loyola, Ambassador of Chile to Indonesia. On this joyous occasion, I would like to extend my most heartfelt congratulations on the 79th anniversary of Radio Republic Indonesia. Radio Republic Indonesia continues to play a pivotal role as a public broadcasting institution and a diplomatic radio station. It bridges cultures between nations and peoples. Sekali di udara, tetap di udara.
We begin today in history with the event on September 14, 1960, when OPEC was officially established. Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries, or OPEC, is a permanent intergovernmental organization established in 1960 by Iran, Iraq, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and Venezuela at the Baghdad Conference on September 10 to the 14. As quoted by OPEC.org, the establishment of OPEC aimed at coordinating and unifying petroleum policies among member countries in a bid to ensure fair and stable prices for petroleum producers, an efficient, economical, and regular supply of petroleum to consuming countries, and a fair return on capital for those who invest in the industry. In the following year, OPEC began to accept new members, such as Qatar in 1961 and Indonesia and Libya in 1962. Let's move to another event in 1995 when the second Indonesian president, Suharto, established Library Visit Day. September 14 is commemorated as Library Visit Day in Indonesia. It started with the idea of the first head of the National Library of Indonesia, Mastini Harjo Prakoso, who proposed the declaration of Library Visitors Day to be commemorated on September 14. The commemoration aims at inculcating the habit of people visiting libraries, and raising the love of reading. We end today in history with the event on Japan launching spacecraft on September 14, 2007. Japan launched their first spacecraft to the moon on September 14, 2007. Its name is SLEEN, which stands for Selenological and Engineering Explorer. SLEEN was also nicknamed Kaguya. In Japanese fairy tales, Kaguya is the name of a princess from the moon. Kaguya was launched from the Tanegashima Space Center on Tanegashima, an island about 1,000 kilometers south of Tokyo. At the time, the mission aimed to study the lunar surface, gravity, and other things to reveal the origin and evolution of the moon. That's today in history from Voice of Indonesia.
Kau bisa patahkan kakiku, tapi tidak mimpi-mimpiku. Kau bisa lumpuhkan tanganku, tapi tidak mimpi-mimpiku. Kau bisa merebut senyumku, tapi sungguh tak akan lama. Kau bisa merobek hatiku, tapi aku tahu obatnya. Manusia-manusia kuat, itu kita.
Jiwa-jiwa yang kuat, itu kita.
Manusia-manusia kuat, itu kita.
Jiwa-jiwa yang kuat, itu kita.
Kau bisa hitamkan putihku, kau takkan gelapkan apapun. Kau bisa runtuhkan jalanku, kan ku temukan jalan yang lain.
Manusia-manusia kuat, itu kita.
Jiwa-jiwa yang kuat, itu kita.
Manusia-manusia kuat, itu kita.
Jiwa-jiwa yang kuat, itu kita. Patah tanganku, rebut senyumku, hitamkan putihnya hatiku, tapi tidak mimpi-mimpiku.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is on Indonesia-Germany strengthen cooperation in renewable energy development. Indonesia and Germany are strengthening cooperation in the electricity sector. The cooperation includes the development of renewable energy through the signing of a cooperation agreement between Indonesian state-owned electricity company PT PLN and German GIZ and KfW. The signing of the cooperation agreement was carried out by the Director of Risk Management of PT PLN, Suroso Isnandar, Director of KfW in Indonesia, Burkhard Hinz, and the Director of the GIZ Indonesia and ASEAN, Energy Program, Lisa Tinshirt. It was conducted on the second day of Indonesia Sustainable Energy Week 2024 in Jakarta, Wednesday. In his statement released on Thursday, the Director of Risk Management of PT PLN, Suroso Isnandar, stated this cooperation is very valuable for PLN because it has supported efforts to accelerate the energy transition and decarbonization of the electricity system. He believes that with this cooperation, Indonesia can achieve its renewable energy target while still ensuring a reliable and affordable electricity supply. He also said the Indonesian government continues to strive to accelerate the energy transition process to achieve the net zero emission target by 2060 or sooner. Meanwhile, GIZ Indonesia ASEAN Energy Program Director Lisa Tinshirt added, energy transition is key to achieving global climate targets and ensuring a fair and sustainable energy supply. Collaboration on technical studies between PLN and GIZ has produced various important achievements, including a techno-economic study of electricity planning in Selayar Island, which supports the realization of PLN Selayar Hybrid Solar Power Plant, which has been operating in 2022. Meanwhile, KfW Director in Indonesia, Burkhard Hinz, stated, KfW continues to support PLN and the Indonesian government to decarbonize and modernize the energy sector in Indonesia and contribute to achieving the Just Energy Transition Partnership target, which agreed with the International Partner Group. Since 2016, Indonesia and Germany through GIZ, KfW, and PLN have collaborated on various initiatives to support the energy transition in Indonesia. This cooperation includes financing renewable energy projects, development of the electricity network, as well as increasing technical capacity and training for PLN staff. In the future, KfW and PLN are committed to strengthening cooperation in the field of clean energy through financial support, studies, and capacity development. Programs such as the Energy Transition Acceleration Program and the Just Energy Transition Partnership will be the main instruments in realizing this collaboration. That was my Indonesia Today.
Jika kami bersama nyalakan tanah bahaya, jika kami berpesta hening akan terpecah. Aku, dia dan mereka memang kira memang beda, tak perlu berpura-pura, memang begini adanya. Dan kami di sini akan terus
kami bersama nyalakan tanda bahaya musik.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, Goa Kreo is one of many hidden cave sites in Indonesia. It offers an adventure into a fascinating underground world. Goa Kreo is located in Duku Talun Kacang, Kandri Village, Mijen Subdistrict Semarang, Central Java. It is a tourism spot located in the highly area of Mount Krincing. This area is a natural tourism destination with cool air. Musik. Listener, Goa Kreo is a tourism destination located in a forest area with an area of 5 hectares. In this forest, there are a lot of trees that make the water around cool. The Koreo Cave tourism area has hundreds of monkey of the Macaca fascicularis ethnicity, or long-tailed monkeys, which are the legend behind the name Kreo Cave. Goa Kreo is unique because although it's not so big, it is quite long and there are several more caves in it. Korea itself means take care. It is considered that the monkey guard the area from criminals. The interesting part of this place is that trees will pass a number of stairs surrounded by the Jatibarang Reservoir. These stairs are the access to the cave. Listener, before the construction of the Jatibarang Reservoir, which was built to overcome flooding in Semarang City, the hill where the monkey life was integrated into the surrounding area. But after the reservoir was filled with water, it looked like a small island. The cave area is usually used to shelter the monkeys when it's rained. Korea Cave has a wide room and the mouth of the cave and gets narrower as it's explored into the interior. Travelers exploring the cave must quit to reach the end and the cave, which is a monkey statue. After exploring Korea Cave, you can immediately enjoy the beauty of Jatibarang Reservoir. In this area, tourists can do activities such as walking along the river, traveling by speedboat, riding a tourboat, or fishing. Besides, in the area, you can also enjoy the sunrise and sunset. Listener, Goa Kreo Tour is open every day, Monday to Saturday from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. The ticket price for adults is 4,000 rupiah on Monday to Saturday and 5,000 per person for Sunday and holiday. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder.
Murang jatuhan ribuan kenangan. Malam seketika
are still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program we present to you, Miscellany. Listeners, today's Miscellany takes you to the land of the rising sun, Japan, to celebrate the extraordinary achievement of Indonesian students from Alia'lu Elementary School in Malang City, East Java Province. They have successfully brought honor to the nation in the international arena. On September 10, 2024, the Indonesian Embassy in Tokyo, Japan, had the honor of receiving a special visit from Alia'lu Elementary School students at the invitation of the Ministry of Education, Culture, Sport, Science, and Technology of Japan. They were in Japan to celebrate their achievement as the first winner in the Southeast Asian Ministers of Education Organization Japan Education 2024 Sustainable Development Award. In this prestigious competition, they competed with 115 schools from various countries in Southeast Asia with innovative projects that focus on environmental conservation through renewable energy. Listener, the coordinator of the socio-cultural information function of the Indonesian Embassy in Tokyo, Muhammad Al-Aula, along with the education and culture attaché, Amzul Rifin, stated, "This achievement reflects the role of Indonesian champion students as unofficial ambassadors of the country. According to him, the students have shown the world that they have high creativity that is not only beneficial for the surrounding environment, but also contributes to creating a cleaner earth." In the Southeast Asian Ministers of Education Organization Japan Education for Sustainable Development Award 2023, Al-Ya'lu Elementary School stood out with their project in the Environmentally Friendly Behavior Innovation category. A 10-year-old student, Nikki Ilahi, along with her friends, managed to amaze the jury with programs such as bamboo pellets and micro-hydro system for hatching duck eggs. Their achievements brought a good name not only to the school but also to Indonesia as a whole, showing that the creativity and environmental awareness of Indonesian children from an early age excels in the international world. Well, listener, that's today's miscellany from Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's edition of Music Corner is going to present a keroncong song entitled Salahmu Sendiri or Your Fault by Dias Erlangga and accompanied by Mafia Keroncong. The song was popularized by Chutrani and composed by Faisal Asahan. It was released in September 2023. The song tells the story of someone's regret and despair in their romantic relationship. This song describes a person's regret towards their partner's mistakes or actions in the past. Well, listener, here is Dias Erlangga featuring Mafia Keroncong with Salahmu Sendiri. Happy listening.
Tak pernah
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you so much for listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at voi_official. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.